Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, Chapter 39, which is titled Akura's Vision. That's the title of the chapter, but what we are focusing on is a group of verses from verse 19 to verse 30, which is 12 verses spoken by the gopis. In an intense mood of separation, fearing the impending separation from their lifelong friend and most intimate confidential lover, Sri Krishna, that they've known since childhood. They grew up together. They were born in the same village, Gokul and Ravel. They were fast friends from birth and intensely and intimately associated for the last 11 years of their lives. Krishna is about 10 years and 9 months old when he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. Approximately, we can say 11 years old. And every moment of every day for 11 years, Krishna was with the gopis, either directly or indirectly. But we can't say consciously or unconsciously. We can say consciously 24 hours a day, but directly or indirectly. Sometimes he would meet them directly. It's called Sakshat Leela, direct Leela, and sometimes it would be Leela and separation, and then sometimes there's Swapna Vilas. Swapna Amrita Vilas. Swapna Amrita Vilas means, Swapna means dreaming, what we call dreaming. But when Krishna is resting, then he has Swapna Amrita, Amrita Vilas. Nectarine pastimes, Vilas. Enjoying nectarine pastimes with Radharani and the gopis in his dreams. And as we said the other day, remember that quotation from a friend. In Vrindavan, dreams are reality. And outside of Vrindavan, reality is a dream. Try to realize it. Reality outside of Vrindavan consciousness, outside of Vrindavan smaran, outside of Vrindavan seva, is a dream. Doesn't mean you have to park your bones in Vrindavan. That may not even be Vrindavan. You can park your bones in Vrindavan, and it doesn't mean you're in Vrindavan. Your heart has to enter Vrindavan. Your consciousness has to enter Vrindavan. Wherever your bones may lie, wherever your bones may sit, they may sit in car, or Bandra, or Mira Road, or Yahoo and Juhu, different websites, Yahoo.com, Juhu.com. Ju is JUHU.KAM. You know what that means? Do you know what KAM means? KAM. Do you know what that means? Calm. Do you know what calm is? Lust. Do you know what Juhu's full of? Lust. Juhu.com. JUHU.KAM. Juhu.com. Because Juhu is full of lusty women and lusty men. And greedy men and greedy women. And they're all in Maya. Except you. All right. Juhu.com. No, I mean Yahoo.com. What's your mailing address? Juhu.com. JUHU.KAM. So these 12 verses from chapter 39 are known as Viraha Gita. And that's what we're looking at. And generally, when we examine these verses from the later chapters of Bhagavatam, after chapter 13 of the 10th canto, The translation and word for word and purporting of the verses was done by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Gopi Pranodana Prabhu and Ridhananda Das Goswami, and Dravida Das did editing and also contributing ideas. So these three devotees, Dravida Das, Gopi Pranodana Das, and Ridhananda Das Goswami, they were the primary translators and commentators of these verses. After consulting the illustrious comments and tikas of Sanatana Goswami, Sridhar Swami, and Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, they presented their tikas or purports. But Srila Prabhupada, of course, in his last days in Vrindavan, he completed up to chapter 13 in the word for word in Sanskrit. However, earlier in 1969, Prabhupada translated all the 90 chapters of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, all 90 chapters, Vrindavan Leela, Mathura Leela, Dwarka Leela, and he wrote just translation, no word for word meaning, and then he also wrote his tikas. So generally when we give when we have given classes in the year 2000 in Radhakund, we gave classes on Gopi Geet. I was looking the other day and inquiring. I don't think there's any recordings of those classes. I mean, they're there in the Akashic Record. If you want to hear them, you can go on the website. You can download the Akashic Records. Do you know what the Akashic Records are? All sound vibration. All sound vibration is stored in the Akash. Akashic Records, all sound vibration is up there somewhere, if you can pull it down. At any rate, when we study these different Gitas, then we generally, our style is to present what the Guru Bhais have presented in their purports, and then see what Prabhupada has said, because all these chapters have his translations of the same Sanskrit verses and his tikas. And so we're going to step back here, although we're about to study verse 25, which is one of the last few verses of the Viraha Gita. We forgot about that, and we're just going to look back and review some of these same verses and hear how Prabhupada translates it. Because as everyone knows, a good thing bears repetition, and there's nothing more important to us than developing our love for Krishna. This is the most urgent and crucial activity for every human being, is to awaken their dormant love for Krishna, expand it, realize it, live it, enter it, and be part of Krishna's eternal pastimes in Nityadham, Sribdham, Vrindavan. So these, we have to develop the bhav. No bhav, no rup. First comes bhav, then comes form. So these verses are very wonderful. So we're going to review, slight review, just the English, and we'll hear the English translation by our Guru Bhais, those persons I mentioned, devotees I mentioned, then we'll hear Prabhupada's translation. In some cases, this BBT edition by the Guru Bhais is quite exact in terms of the Sanskrit words. It's very particular and exact. But the level of their perception and realization, of course, is quite a bit different than Prabhupada's. So though Prabhupada sounds sometimes a little bit more easier, more not so exact, but there's so much deeper feelings also there. So this is the introduction to this. This is, we'll read just Prabhupada's introduction to this whole chapter again, Viraha Gita. This is the gopis are singing in separation. This time it's a very intense separation. It's not the separation of the rasa dance, which is called Gopi Geet, chapter 31. This is chapter 39. And now this is the last meeting, the last darshan, the last darshan of Krishna, the last meeting before he is scurries away to Mathura. When the gopis heard that Akura had come to take Krishna and Balaram away to Mathura, they became overwhelmed with anxiety. Some of them became so aggrieved that their faces turned black, and they began to breathe warmly and had palpitations of the heart. Now the Guru Bhais said that their faces became pale, right? And they breathed heavily. So if you look at the Sanskrit, if you look at the direct Sanskrit, it says pale, because one of the symptoms of ashtasattvic bhav is called vaivarnya. Vaivarnya, ashru, kampa, romancha, and stamba, and pralaya. There's eight symptoms of bhav. It's called ashtasattvic vikars, transformations of the physical body due to intense feelings of transcendental love or even also material love, hair standing an end in fear. So one is called vaivarnya. Varna means color. Vaivarnya means without color or devoid of color. You become flushed. You become pale. And when someone's very frightened, they become whitish. They become... And if someone's very joyful, then lots of blood flows to the face. They become reddish, reddish gold, reddish brown, whatever. Different emotions create different colors of the skin or the face, tone of complexion. So someone might say, well, here it's saying that their face has turned pale, and that is a symptom, and that's correct. Prabhupada is saying their face has turned black. Black means black. What does black mean? Black means, now we have to see what Prabhupada is saying here, the prokshavad, the indirect meaning. The word-for-word thing is, the word-for-word meaning is there, in this, but Prabhupada's trying to convey the actual mood. They were so unhappy, and their faces were so sad that it appeared they had died. When you're dead, your face is not pale, it becomes black, black and blue. Your body turns blue, black and blue. So Prabhupada's not wrong, he's very right. He's showing how, he's actually bringing out more of the intensity. If we just say their faces turn pale, which is what the Sanskrit is saying, but to say their faces turn black, that means it's like they were like, there's nothing. They were just dead. They became so overwhelmed. And then he said, says they began to breathe warmly. Now if you think of it logically, can you breathe warmly? Usually, because in the verse, the Godbrother is saying, they breathe heavily. Oh, oh, like panting or sighing when someone is frightened or someone's in emotion. They're, oh, oh. So this is, means heavy breathing. So you can breathe warmly? What does that mean, breathe warmly? It means, this has so much meaning. But if you don't understand, their hearts were, because viraha, it's called viraha agni. Vipralamba bhav, the mood of separation love, is called viraha agni. As you know, Agni Deva is a god of fire. Agni means fire, heat, burning. Viraha, burning in separation. Our hearts are burning. If something's burning, is it hot or cold? It's hot. Warm? Warm is... So it says, they were breathing, they began to breathe warmly. It means they were exhaling hot breath. You know, like a dragon. The mythological dragon, big fire breathing dragon, and the knights in armor going to fight the dragons in the cartoons or whatever. Fire breathing dragons. So they were fire breathing gopis. Their hearts were burning in separation, viraha agni. So it's right, yes, it's right. Heavily, yes, they're breathing heavily, but breathing warmly on fire. Then it says they had palpitations of the heart. They discovered that their hair and clothes immediately loosened. Hearing the news that Krishna and Balaram were leaving for Mathura, other gopis who were engaged in household duties stopped working as if they had forgotten everything, like a person who was called forth to die and leave this world at once. And it's very interesting because if you see here, the same verse, they say, the disciples, they say, the gopis lost all awareness of the external world, just like those who attain the platform of self-realization. This is the same Sanskrit. So you see, according to the Sanskrit, in Hindi or whatever, in Sanskrit, every word has 50 meanings. Every Sanskrit word has 50 meanings or 20 meanings and shades of meanings and nuances and... So here, Prabhupada is seeing the same Sanskrit and he's deriving this meaning. They're seeing and getting this meaning. They lost all awareness of the external world like those that attain the platform. When one becomes self-realized, he's Atmaram. He's absorbed in the soul and God. He's like, oh, this. He gets food, sleeping, clothing, honor, dishonor, pleasure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, gold. It's all the same. Gold and pebbles, it's all the same. Honor, dishonor, pleasure, and pain, gold and pebble, it's all the same. He doesn't care about anything of this world. He's self-realized. His happiness is coming from within. His happiness is coming from God. He's Atmaram. But Prabhupada, what is Prabhupada saying? That the gopis, they stopped working. They stopped performing their domestic duties just as if they were called to die. Like when someone's, when Yamaraj comes and you're about to die, all your activities stop. Right? When it's time for death, you don't say, excuse me, I have to wash the dishes. And when your breath is going, you don't say, well, now I'm dying, well, let me finish my dishes. No, you lie down, and then the Yamadutas are gathering around. Okay, come on, now it's time. No, wait a second, I just have to wash my diapers. You know? Or they don't wash anymore, they throw them out. Yeah, the diaper panties or whatever they call, what do they call those things? Kitties things they throw out. What do they call this? Diapers? Don't they have some... Yeah, pampies, beepies. And they always have some funny name for them, you know. Poopies or something, I don't know. So when Yamaraj comes to take us, or take one at the time of death, then that's it. So this, just see, at the same Sanskrit words, Prabhupada is saying, they stopped working as if they had forgotten everything. Just like a person who is called forth to die and leave this world at once. So they're saying, like someone who's saying self-realization. That seems to be like off the point of the whole flow of the story. You know, you're talking about the gopis and they're feeling separation, all of a sudden there's something about self-realization. So Prabhupada's continuing the same flow. Yes, what is this? How do they feel? They felt like someone's about to die. Someone's being called to death. Krishna leaving Vrindavan and going to Mathura is the same as if the Yamadutas or someone's calling the death is to come to take them away. Others immediately fainted due to separation from Krishna. Remembering Krishna's attractive smile and his talks with them, the gopis became overwhelmed with grief. They all remembered the characteristics of the personality of Godhead, how he moved within the area of Vrindavan, and how, with joking words, he attracted all their hearts. Thinking of Krishna and their imminent separation from him, the gopis assembled together with heavily beating hearts. They were completely absorbed in thought of Krishna, and with tears falling from their eyes, they spoke as follows. They were completely absorbed in thought of Krishna, and with tears falling from their eyes, they spoke as follows. And then it begins the Gopi Gita. So we had covered all these introductory verses. And this here it says, they gathered in groups and spoke to one another, their faces covered with tears, and their minds fully absorbed in Achyuta. So it's really quite, if someone's really interested in studying and really wants to get deep into the moods and understandings, then what he does, he reads, if he has a Hindi version or a Sanskrit version, he reads the Srimad Bhagavatam, the translation and the tikkas or commentaries of all the different acharyas, Mahajanacharyas, and gets their different viewpoints and different realizations. There's one edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, has 11 commentaries on each verse. 11 different commentaries. Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, Vallabhacharya, Hari Sauri and Govinda. Oh, there's so many, Radha Govinda Nath, and many, many, 11 different ones. And so in the same way, we can, with our limited books in our possession, or maybe we only know so much English or whatever, many of these books are out of print, we can read the translation and the purports given by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Then we can read Vishnu Chakravarti's commentaries on these verses, which are contained in Sarta Darshini, which is his commentaries on 10th canto, that's in English. And then we can get Krishna book, and you can actually mark, you can tick off each of the verses, you can see. You can find the verse, and you can find it, and you put brackets around. This is verse 14. I have every single verse here in the Krishna book. So then you can find, otherwise you only find how Prabhupada would translate the verses of the Krishna book, or 10th canto, up to chapter 13. But here you find all every verse of every chapter. Practically, sometimes he leaves out a verse. And Prabhupada, so like you read here, so when you read back and forth, you go back and forth and you get a richer idea, a fuller idea, and more feelings. And then different perceptions. They were seeing Prabhupada's disciples are seeing the gopis in the mood of someone who forgot everything in a mood of self-realization. That's what they said. Then Prabhupada said, the same Sanskrit, Prabhupada saying, the gopis forgot everything just like someone who's called to die, called forth to die. That's quite a different mood. So here they say, they gathered in groups and spoke to one another, their faces covered with tears and their minds fully absorbed in Achyuta, because the verse says Achyuta, Achyutashaya. So Achyuta is a name for Krishna. And Prabhupada, he says, to that verse, he says, they were completely absorbed in thought of Krishna, and with tears falling from their eyes, they spoke as follows. So oftentimes, at least our, of course, we're a little bit biased, for good reason, but what you find, we generally find, when we read, we compare the two verses, although the verses from the Gurubais may be more accurate, I prefer the sweetness of the verses by my spiritual master. His particular translation seem to be more, I feel like I'm there, I feel they bring me more to in the presence of the gopis, or the presence of the coward boys, or whomever Prabhupada is describing in the particular section of Bhagavatam. Of course, that's my bias. A wife will always favor her husband, and a husband will always favor the wife. So in this case, I'm favoring. Of course, I have all great regards for my beloved, educated, and learned, scholarly godbrothers. But my greater love is for my, for our guru, who's also their guru. So this is, gives you a sample. Now, this is text 19, which is the Gopi Gita. It begins verse 19 and goes to verse 30. So they say, and we say, they say, this is the Gopi's verse, Sri Gopi Uchu, Aho Vidat. Vidattas tavana kuchindaya. So then this verse. O providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied creatures together in friendship and love, and then senselessly separate them before they fulfill their desires. This whimsical play of yours is just like a child's game. Remember? We studied, almost everyone's been here every day. Now, how does Prabhupada translate this? Oh, providence, you are so cruel! Of course, I'm giving more emphasis over here. It appears that you do not know how to show mercy to others. By your arrangement, friends contact one another. But without fulfilling their desires, you separate them. This is exactly like a child's game that has no meaning. So, how many vote for Prabhupada's translation? I vote. So you have to see, look, and some, if you're really into it, you look back and forth and say, oh, what? How did they say these three Sanskrit words? They said like this. How did Prabhupada say these three? You can go part by part, because people know, how do you study Prabhupada's books? How do you study Prabhupada's books? With interest. I ask a young man, how do you study the body of a woman? Oh, well, first of all, are you interested? No. Well, then are you going to study? No. But if you're interested, then you'll do a very minute study. Very minute, from top to bottom. Because you're interested. If there's interest, there's attraction. If there's attraction, there's attention. If there's attention, there's absorption. There must be interest. Are you interested in Krishna? Are you interested in loving Krishna? Or is it just a passing thought, a passing cloud in the firmament of your dream world? Is it real or is it a dream? And if you're really interested, then you'll get deep into it, minutely. Oh, I mean, you'll see, oh, so much good fortune is available for us. So much, what if we only had this? But we have this too. This is Prabhupada's mercy that he's expanded, and his disciples are giving us their translation. So then we can go, then we have the Sanskrit words here. Oh, we can look at this Viratas tava. This is a providence. And how does Prabhupada say? He says, oh, providence. Then they say this, nadaya. And they say like this. Oh, he says, they say no mercy. He says cruel. Instead of mercy, you can back and forth. For each verse, you can spend 1 or 2 hours going through the Sanskrit. They say like this. Prabhupada says like this. What is Prabhupada trying to convey? What's the meaning between the lines? What's the implied meaning? What's the direct meaning? What's the feeling? What feeling is Prabhupada conveying? What picture is Prabhupada conveying? What are they saying? And this is called absorption. But if there's no interest, oh yeah, I read the Bhagavatam. Yeah, it's great. Huh? Give me the USA Today. You say you can spend years on one verse. Interest. Are you interested? So that's by your arrangement. Friends contact one another, but without fulfilling their desires, you separate them. This is exactly like a child's game that has no meaning. Now, text 20. They say, it's like, of course, I should read their version with equal enthusiasm. Having shown us Mukunda's face, the gopis are speaking now to one another in small groups. Having shown us Mukunda's face, framed by dark locks and beautified by his fine cheeks, raised nose and gentle smiles, which eradicate all misery, you, Providence, are now making that face invisible. This behavior of yours is not at all good. Now, Prabhupada says, it is very abominable that you, Providence, arrange to show us beautiful Krishna, whose bluish, curling hair beautifies his broad forehead and sharp nose, and who is always smiling to minimize all grief in this material world. And then you arrange to separate him from us. Oh, Providence, you are so cruel. To me, I think Prabhupada's translations are really good, really rich. Really feel like this is the gopis. Because Prabhupada is a gopi. As they say, it takes one to know one. Takes one to know one. If you're a thief, you know what a thief thinks like. Right? So Prabhupada is Radharani's gopi. He's Sakhi. I'm not about to comment on the eternal identity of my god brothers who are translating and purporting in the Bhagavatam. But it's very, very clear what Prabhupada's eternal identity is. So it takes someone. So Prabhupada's the Sanskrit is very good and very nicely presented. The editing is very wonderful. The perfect editing. The English is wonderful. And maybe even much more clear, much more proper. But Bhav. V-H-A-V-A, Bhav. And what did Prabhupada say? That these purports are my devotional ecstasies. Only the purports? The translations are no ecstasy? Ecstasy means, what does it mean when he says devotional ecstasy? It means bhakti bhav. Bhakti bhav, his bhav. Only the purports are his bhav. They're written by Srila Prabhupada, and the verses are translated by Srila Prabhupada. So are the translations also bhakti bhav? Yes. So the translations are also full of bhav. So therefore it behooves us to take advantage of that bhav. So we can all the chapters and all the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, we can note here in the Krishna book, and compare. It's a very wonderful and deep study. Very compelling and absorbing. Again, if you're interested. If you're not, Haribol. So, let's go on to another verse, text 21. O Providence, though you come here with the name Akrura, you are indeed cruel, for like a fool, you are taking away what you once gave us, those eyes with which we have seen, even in one feature of Lord Madhudvisa's form, the perfection of your entire creation. It's text 21. Actually, I read part of that. Providence, you are so cruel, but most astonishingly, you appear now as a Akrura, which means not cruel. In the beginning, we appreciated your workmanship in giving us these eyes to see the beautiful face of Krishna. But now, just like a foolish creature, you are taking away our eyes by not letting us see Krishna here anymore. To me, it's really clear that Prabhupada's seeing it. Prabhupada's there. Are you there? I'm there. Are you there, man? Yeah, I'm there. I'm really there. So, next verse, text 22. This is a review. A review and enrichment. Enriching course. Alas, this is text 22. Alas, Nanda's son, who breaks loving friendships in a second, will not even look directly at us. Forcibly brought under his control, we abandon our homes, relatives, children, and husbands just to serve Krishna. But he is always looking for new lovers. That's Srila Prabhupada's translation. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is also very cruel. In other words, Providence, you're cruel, and Akrura, you're also cruel, and so is Krishna. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, or Nanda Nandan, is also very cruel. He must always have new friends. He does not like to keep friendships for a long time with anyone. We gopis of Vrindavan, having left our homes, friends, and relatives, have become Krishna's maidservants, but he is neglecting us and going away. He does not even look upon us, although we are completely surrendered unto him. Text 23, BBT. The dawn following this night will certainly be auspicious for the women of Mathura. All their hopes will now be fulfilled, for as the Lord of Braj enters their city, they will be able to drink from his face the nectar of the smile emanating from the corner of his eyes. Prabhupada, text 23. Now all the young girls in Mathura will have the opportunity. Full stop. They are expecting Krishna's arrival, and they will enjoy his sweet smiling face and will drink its honey. That's translation of nectar. You've heard of honey pie? Honey pie? Hey, honey. Honey face. Drink the honey. What does it say? Drink the honey of his face. Drink its honey. Text 24. BBT. Gopis said, O gopis, although our Mukunda is intelligent and very obedient to his parents, once he has fallen under the spell of the honey-sweet words of the women of Mathura, and been enchanted by their alluring, shy smiles, how will he ever return to us unsophisticated village girls? Srila Prabhupada's translation. Although we know that Krishna is very steady and determined, we are afraid that as soon as he sees the beautiful faces of the young girls in Mathura, he will forget himself. We fear he will become controlled by them and will forget us, for we are simple village girls. He will no longer be kind to us. We therefore do not expect Krishna to return to Vrindavan. He will not leave the company of the girls in Mathura. Text 25, which is today's verse, which will start tomorrow. Hare Krishna. So, how do you like Prabhupada's translations? Bodh Bhariya. Anand. So, we're relishing, and you can do the same. You can mark. And it's quite an experience. I'm just reading them, but the real thing is you go through each, go try to enter, as we repeatedly said, try to be absorbed in what is Prabhupada presenting, what vision, what exchange, what feelings, what outlook, what thinking, what desiring, what hankering, in his language, in his words, what is couched in his language, what is contained and concealed within his expressions, what bhav, what emotions, what realizations. It requires some meditations called mantra upasana. Upasana, worshipping, sitting next to the mantra. This mantra is, of course, in English. It's still powerful. This is Shabda Brahman. Irregardless of the language, it's still transcendental vibration, glorifying the supreme transcendence in his topmost expression of divinity and Madhura Bhav. It's a very powerful language, very powerful conceptions, very forceful presentation of the intense loving feelings of the gopis and Viraha Bhav. So I would humbly beg everyone to enter deeply into these teachings with the beautiful access that we're given through Prabhupada's Krishna book along with the BBT's Dasama Skanda. You have a question? Excuse me? And this big one? If you have the same big one, which is, it's page 285. 284 I started and 285. This big one here. They call this title, see, even they have different chapter titles. Here it says Akura's Vision, or chapter 39. Here it says Akura's Return Journey, which means to Mathura, and his vision of Vishnu Loka within the Yamuna River. Here it says Akura's Vision. Vision of what? But it is, it's his return. He came from Mathura and now he's returning. So it's quite, and what we're hearing is about what devastation that return is causing in the hearts of the Braja Gopis. So tomorrow, by the mercy of Krishna and Gurunga, we shall meet again and discuss the beautiful glories of Krishna and his eternal associates. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Vancha kalpa trivyascha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo.